Welcome into the Sports Objective. We really appreciate you tuning in whenever and however you're watching and listening, whether it's on YouTube, Facebook, pretty much anywhere podcasts are found, you can find us. A lot of excitement, so much anticipation for this weekend's Greenville Regional. Two national championship winners headed to Clark Atlanta Stadium in the University of Virginia and Coastal Carolina, who won the title back in 2016. Right now, very excited to be joined by the longtime head coach of the Chanticleers, and that's, of course, 27th year head coach Gary Gilmore. Coach, we appreciate your time this morning.
Listen, thank you very much for having me on, and we look very forward to an incredible experience and atmosphere there in Greenville.
No doubt, should be a tremendous weekend of baseball. Coach, before we really dive into some of the specifics of your club, just talk about what you've been able to accomplish there at your alma mater. So much success, and obviously, when people think of Coastal, they think of obviously a tremendous tradition, but then that 2016 national title.
No doubt. We're a program that's been very, very blessed. Myself personally have been incredibly blessed. Had a bunch of crossroads in my life, and good Lord put me down this path and gave me an opportunity to coach at the place I dreamed of coaching from the time I played here. And, just so very fortunate to have the opportunity to be here. And, I've watched our program and our university kind of grow up hand in hand over these years. And it's been really a cool thing to watch and see, and very, very proud of both our program and our university.
Yeah, that's something I've certainly admired from afar, being an East Carolina guy myself. But, Cliff Godwin's loyalty to East Carolina, when he's had the opportunity to leave, I'm sure you've had the chance to leave. But, you love doing what you're doing, and doing it at your alma mater, a place that means so much to you. That's something that, I've always respected.
Well, I appreciate that. And, I know that, that Cliff is in the same boat. I know that he wants to be the guy that gets East Carolina to Omaha, and heck, he's done an incredible job there, and just can't say enough great things about him. And what Coach Oak has done in Virginia just speaks for itself.
Certainly. And diving into your club, 36-18-1, 21-8-1 in the Sun Belt Conference, and before we dive into your club specifically, man, what a league the Sun Belt is. Four teams in the tournament, and then you also have Georgia Southern hosting.
Oh, there's no doubt. No, it's it was the best single year since we've been in the Sun Belt these 4 or 5 years. It's the best collective top to bottom. I mean, the teams that aren't in the tournament, there were, Troy was very good. Georgia State was outstanding. I mean, there are some really, really good teams in our league. And, it was a dogfight all year with everybody. And I'm so very happy for Coach Hennon and his program. He's, he's got some older guys that have been with him for 4 and 5 years that have just played great from pitch one in the beginning of the year. They have been awesome. And, I wish them and Texas State and Lafayette all great success. But, what Georgia Southern did was very, very special. Having been a part of a couple of those don't come along very often in a mid-major coach's career where you actually get to host and are one of the 16 best teams in the country.
And not to deviate too much off the task at hand, but in the future, and then Sun Belt's bringing in programs like Southern Miss and Old Dominion. Southern Miss hosting a regional this year. They've been to Omaha, and then obviously Old Dominion was a number one seed a year ago, and many people thought they deserved to be in the tournament this year.
Oh, absolutely. No, Finney has done an incredible job there. And, Southern Miss, man, alive, they just, they're an absolute machine every single year. I know they have one of the best pitching staffs in the country, and, we're going to welcome them into the league, but also making life a lot more miserable over here on this end. There's just getting to be so many good schools. But, at the end, I hope that just means, that getting, 3, 4, and 5 teams in out of the Sun Belt becomes routine in this moving forward, that we can be good enough to rival some of the Power Five schools with from top to bottom in baseball.
Looking at your ball club, you know, when I think about Coastal Carolina baseball down through the years, I think of, you know, teams that can really hit or very aggressive on the base pass. This club certainly seems to be right there as well, fitting that mold, you know, stealing right at 90 bases and then, you know, hitting close to 300 as a team with more than 70 home runs.
No, this team is a well-rounded team. You know, we kind of treaded water there for a while after I think we got off to like a 6-1 or 7-1 start, and we had some guys get hurt, and we went through about a month and a half where we just kind of treaded water trying to figure out how to change roles when you've got two of your best pitchers out, your catcher breaks his hand, and, you know, we had some other dings and things along the way as well. So, you know, once the guys kind of started to heal up and we started getting some continuity in our rotation and able to, you know, kind of whittle our rotation player wise down to, you know, 12 or 13 guys, you know, we started to gain some momentum, and you know, last 25-30 games, you know, we played pretty well.
If you would, let's hone in on your club offensively. Tyler Johnson hitting .366, 17 bombs, 56 runs driven in. Now tell us about Tyler, and then also some of those other top bats you have in your lineup.
Yeah, Tyler's been absolutely incredible. You know, his ability to hit the long ball at any moment in time and every at bat, every swing is you know, something that you know, we really didn't have last year. And you know, it's he's kind of gave us, he's distanced us from people at times, and he's also had one swing of the bat that's brought us back into games. And he's been very, very, very good. You know, the last 40-45 games, he got off to a little bit of a slow start, but once he was able to play pretty steady, you know, he's just been unbelievable. I mean, he's one of the better all around power hitting guys we've had in quite a while. And you know, our lineup kind of revolves around Austin White, our leadoff hitter. He kind of makes us go. Great on base guy, leads us in stolen bases, and incredible defensive center fielder. Eric Brown, our shortstop, should be a significant draft pick here this coming July. And you know, he's just an all around really good player. He can, you know, there are games at times when, you know, he is just flat out the best ball player in the ballpark on both sides. And, you know, hopefully he can have a weekend like that where he's that kind of guy for a few days. And, you know, we got Chris Rowland, our first baseman. He got off to a really, really slow start and kind of was platooning for about half of the year. And then, you know, you could see it starting to turn in our batting practice sessions and our opportunities to work, so I just started running him out there, and I mean, he's been a shot in the arm big time for us in the cleanup hole. And you know, Dale Thomas, one of the leading hitters in the country, and our first weekend in conference, he got smoked with a 92-93 mile fastball square in the head, and you know, he was out for about 10 days. And you know, he really went through a period for about 30 days. He was just not the same player. And you know, the last about 3 weeks, he's played really, really well again. And, you know, just kind of gives us an opportunity to have a, you know, a very deep lineup when he's playing well and doing things. And, you know, those guys are, you know, the main part of our lineup. We've had Graham Brown, our outfielder, really was hitting the majority of the year in the eight hole. And you look up, man, he started turning the corner about a month ago, and heck, he's one of our leading hitters. And, you know, he's moved up in the order to 6 and 7, so you know, he's really come on as of late. And you know, those guys are probably the main cogs in our lineup at this point.
Shifting over to the pitching side, you talked about your rotation developing as the year went on. You know, if you would tell us about, you got two guys at the front of that rotation that have a combined 14-2 record, an ERA below 3, and opponents are hitting just .220 something against them.
Yeah, you know, Reed Van Scotter has been, you know, a godsend to us. I mean, he was, you know, he, last year was his first year out of Tommy John and surgery, and he, you know, he was good at times, but never could really kind of truly find it and consistently give us what he would show you little glimpses of. And this year he put it all together and has been able to maintain and hold it. And you know, he's a classic throwback to my generation. He's a left-handed sinker ball guy that throws a ton of strikes, has a good breaking ball and change up, but he can really pound the strike zone. And you know, he throws a ton of ground balls. I think he gives up like 65-70% ground balls. And you know, in the day and the age of the ball flying out of the ballpark, being able to keep the ball in the park, especially here at our stadium at home, we, you know, our yard is very nice, but it's not very spacious. And you know, it tends to, you get those coastal winds, and you know, you're getting a 10 to 15 mile an hour wind blowing out the majority of the time. And so, you know, anyone that can throw sinkers in this ballpark, you know, is a huge blessing to us when we get one. And he's been unbelievable. Michael Knorr is a transfer that has really kind of blown up on the scene, so to speak. You know, I mean, he was a guy that worked really hard last summer, and once he decided to come here and, you know, made some adjustments and did some things, and you know, he's gone from being a 91, 92 mile an hour guy at Cal Fullerton to, I mean, he's been, you know, there are times he's been up to 99. He normally pitches about 83, I mean, 93 to about 97, and throws a ton of strikes. Most guys that throw real hard tend to scatter the ball and give you opportunities through walks and things. Him, if anything, he may actually throw too many strikes at tops. And, you know, if there is such a thing. But, you know, he has a unique combination of great velocity with very good secondary stuff, but also those tons of strikes. You have to hit him to beat him. And same with Van Scotter. Those two guys have been great. And Nick Parker, our third star, older starter, he's been absolutely, at times, he's been as good as these two guys have been, bringing a different type of repertoire to the table. 90, 91 mile an hour fastball with four picks mix of curve, slider, and change. And, you know, when he commands them, those pitches, I mean, he's thrown some incredible games for us. You know, we didn't win them all, but it was surely what wasn't his fault. You know, he got beat 3-2 at Georgia Southern, and, you know, we very much should have had a chance to win that game. And, you know, he's thrown a couple of others. Here, our last game against South Alabama, he just dominated a team that basically 10 runned us the day before. And so, you know, he has the ability to be a great starter for us as well.
Coach, moving into the weekend, have you made a decision yet? Have you guys announced the starter for Friday evening's game against UVA?
No, we're still at a point where gathering information at this point. Just trying to really do through all the analytics of the teams and try to figure out what our best matchup is. But it'll either be Knorr or Van Scotter, one of the two.
Right. You know, taking a look at your bullpen, one of the things that jumped out, you know, as a couple teams in this regional are kind of in this situation, you know, you have East Carolina and they have 11 pitchers with saves. You guys have seven.
Yeah, we kind of, you know, one of the things we did when we went out recruiting last year is our starting pitching depth that really waned in the program. So we use between recruiting and incoming guys and taking portal guys, you know, we went out and found some starting pitching. And, you know, the one thing I discovered after all these years of coaching is, you know, guys that are used to being starting pitchers, very, very, especially when they're 22, 23 years old, don't take very, very kindly to going into the bullpen if they have to go to the bullpen. And it kind of messes up their mental psyche. And so basically I had to kind of go back to an old minor league type philosophy where, you know, you team one guy up with another and they kind of piggyback off of one another so that the reliever knows he's throwing, what day he's throwing, when he's throwing. And, you know, we started doing that and it kind of turned our season around. You know, we just matched up certain guys with guys so that analytically they kind of were a little bit different so that went to a bullpen guy, it'd be a different look for the hitters, but, you know, trying to keep our starters' pitch counts under control, keep them, you know, at a max of 100, and we could get them out at the end of six innings. And in the 90s, we would take them out, and, you know, we would use whatever bullpen piece we had to, if we needed to, in the middle of an inning to bridge to get to the piggyback guy, and then basically just had to ride that guy either two or three innings, and you win or lose with that guy. And, the guys have really bought into it, and they have a lot of pride in not letting the guy that works so hard to get to the seventh inning, whatever, to let him down. And, those guys have been awesome so far.
Final thing for you, Coach. Obviously, this time of year, postseason baseball, you expect a dogfight no matter who you're playing. That goes without saying. But, you know, what are your thoughts on some of the opponents as you move into this weekend's Greenville Regional?
Well, I mean, you know, Coach Oak and Coach Mike at Virginia, I mean, you know, they won a national championship. They were runner-up one year. They traditionally, since they've been there, have one of the best teams in the country. They will be extremely talented. They will be very disciplined and very well coached, and they will play extremely hard, and they'll play extremely smart. And so, you know, I know what we're up against there. You know, if we end up getting an opportunity to play East Carolina, I know that, Cliff's team will be very, very scrappy. You know, they're a little bit uncharacteristically more scrappy-ish this year than they have been in the past, so to speak. They've been more kind of the Bronx Bombers in the past, and, you know, they've got a couple guys that do that. But, you know, they got a whole lot of just doubles and scrappy guys that battle you with at bats. And, you know, their fielding percentage is like .983, which is absolutely unheard of on a natural surface. So, you know, they're going to play great defense, and, you know, they have a unique thing. I've looked at, you know, a bunch of their box scores and games, just trying to get a feel for them just on paper. And, you know, they're using anywhere from four to six or seven guys almost every game out of in their pitching staff, you know. So they just kind of, as soon as one guy falters just a little bit, they have a different look or a different type guy we run out there. And sometimes it may be for one hitter, it may be for four or five hitters, but they just keep mixing and matching. And, you know, heck, man, their ERAs are really good. They, you know, they're going to be a handful as well.
As always, Coach, we appreciate your time. You've been very generous with this morning. You know, safe travels to you in Coastal Carolina as you travel up the coast, and we'll see you this weekend in Greenville.
Sounds great. I appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me on.